The corporate media in this country hardly cover those kinds of stories. When they do cover stories in the Niger Delta, it's usually about a gas pipeline that blows up. You read about it and they say things like AP says this, the New York Times says this, and it comes from the press releases of the corporations that own these pipelines. They say things like vandals and thieves once again drilled a hole in a pipeline and that's what caused it to burst. They never arrested one of these, quote, vandals or thieves. These are kids who come with broken cups and anything that they can carry to these leaky pipelines that the communities have begged the companies to fix for decades. And the kids will come and they'll try to collect it in any way they can because they don't get the oil or gas themselves. They have nothing in the Niger Delta. So they come and they try to take advantage of this. They say the vandals and thieves, mainly children, their charred bodies were found still cupping those containers, which showed that they were thieves. It's an incredible story, what goes on there, especially as we read about the oil crisis here. And we think about just the price of the oil that goes into our tanks, when that's really the price of the oil in Nigeria. And that's why it's so important to have an independent press. Jeremy and I found a quote of George Kirkland, the head of Nigeria, Chevron Nigeria Limited, in Nigeria's Oil and Gas, which is a magazine that comes out monthly. He said, "We're more likely to see other companies as collaborators rather than adversaries. We aren't so much competing with each other as we are competing with the earth." And maybe that's a healthy way to look at it, he says. We aren't so much competing with each other as we are competing with the earth. And that's maybe a healthy way to look at it. And that's precisely what these people were protesting. And it's also what people around the world now are rising up against. And that's where all the hope is right now. Democracy Now! Went out in force to Seattle, November of 1999. We didn't go out with the rest of the press after, you know, it appeared that it was going to be a very big story, but we took the whole team and more out because these were the voices that we had been broadcasting for years. We've almost been on now for 5 years. We began as the only daily election show in public broadcasting in February of 1996. And we realized that this event was going to be big, that this was a true global uprising against corporate power, and that it had to be covered by independent media. You know, probably most of you, the history of Pacifica, which is a very proud and long history that we all must fight to preserve. In 1949, Lew Hill, a pacifist who'd been in prison during World War II, came out of prison and said there had to be a media outlet that was not run by corporations that were building a drumbeat to a third world war because war is profitable for corporations, but there had to be a media outlet that was run by journalists and artists. Journalists and artists who didn't have that same agenda. The same agenda of corporations, who is George Gerbner, the founder of the Cultural Environ Movement, says, corporations with nothing to tell and everything to sell. The corporations that are raising our children, they're spending more time watching television and being raised by these companies than they are in the company of their parents and their families and their communities. And that's how Pacifica was born, a remarkable experiment in 1949. And then the other stations came on board, KPFK here, 90.7 FM in Texas, KPFT, which was, its transmitter was blown up twice in the first year of operation in 1970 by the Ku Klux Klan. And when the exalted Cyclops went on trial for those acts, he said it was his proudest moment, his proudest act. Because he knew what Pacifica was about. It was about opening microphones to the most disempowered, marginalized people to fight bigotry. Because once you hear people speaking, it's much harder to hate. It's just inevitable that you will find yourself identifying. And that's the idea of Pacifica, is to increase understanding and communication. WPFW went on the air in Washington in 1977, and WBAI, the place where I work in New York, went on air January of 1960, and is now 40 years old. That was owned by a man named Lou Schweitzer, a philanthropist, broadcasting from the roof of the Hotel Pierre. I can't think of a more strange contrast to what we are today. But when the newspapers were struck, the Herald Tribune and others, all the advertisers raced to radio, and he realized how advertisement-driven the media was. And he too understood there had to be something that was independent. And so he called the Pacifica Foundation in Berkeley, and he said, I give you this station. And that's how we went on the air. And so we have something very important to preserve as we move into the next millennium. The only independent media network in this country. It is so important.